Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for a two-minute delay getting our show started today. There's going to be a little bit of technical reconfiguration going on here. So I am going to try to get you some music to listen to while we're getting all the technical details worked out. Once again, welcome to the Working Persons Radio. And we have Bill Boyer and myself. Rob Abston here to share with you a little bit about Tallahassee's power grab and Donald Trump's first 100 days and anything else that you might like to discuss that's going to help make this a better progressive world for us to live in. So having said that, let me see if I can find again some music here. We'll start out with The Daughters of Isis. See how
Daughters
that
of Isis is the ancestor of aromacology, indigenous scents representing the fragrant memories of our ancestors, to provide us the tools of the inner quest, the authentic moment, and to heal the Earth Mother. DaughtersofIsis.com. Wholesale available also. Mention PNN and enjoy a free sample from our apothecary for your aroma.
This from the back, we'll plug that over here. Get you set up.
I sat alone night after night. No one came, no one could. Other homes were as big as
I tried to figure it out last night, but I continued to try to work on.
"For this I came from Ireland," Mary Harris Jones might have said. She was 37 in 1867, and her husband and all four children lay dead from yellow fever. Moving to Chicago from Memphis, she set up a dressmaking business. She wrote in her autobiography, "Often while sewing for the lords and barons who lived in magnificent houses on Lakeshore Drive, I would see poor shivering wretches, jobless and hungry, walking along the frozen lakefront. Summers I watched mothers from the slums, lugging babies and little children, hoping for a breath of fresh air from the lake." This compassion and acuteness led Mary Harris Jones to the Knights of Labor, to the IWW, and to virtually every struggle of working people, particularly miners who had the most dangerous job next to farm workers. Sweet-faced, impeccably clad in widow's black, with a touch of white lace at the throat, she was not afraid of the devil. At a time when few women traveled alone, she crisscrossed the nation, her possessions tied up in a black shawl. "I like to travel light," she said. One time, when confined by the police in a dark basement during a Colorado mining strike, she passed the time fending off rats with her shoe. Another time, in Pennsylvania, she was confronted by anti-union thugs. She whipped out from under her crisp little gingham apron a .38 special and invited them to withdraw. They did. Hauled up before a judge in West Virginia, she called him a scab to his face. Told she must say, "Your Honor," she retorted, "Well, I can't call him Your Honor until I know how honorable he is." In Alabama, she slipped past a military sentry, explaining that she was going to a missionary meeting to knit mittens for the heathen of Africa. A sense of humor was one of Mother Jones' most powerful tools. When she was a mere 73, she organized a massive march of children to New York City. Accused of exploiting them, she pointed out that they labored 10 and 12 hours a day in mines, fields and factories. This led to the raising of the legal working age to 14. At 89, she participated in the Great Steel Strike of 1919. "Mother is here," was the cry, particularly among the women. Mother Jones knew that no struggle could be won unless the women were behind it. She lived to be 100, but one hopes her spirit lives on. Tune in next time for the life of Fanny Sellins. Songs for the Unsung is a project of user-friendly music, script, narrative, and original music by Joanne Foreman, sung by Jenny Bird.
It was in the town of Shawnee a Saturday afternoon. His wife beside him in his wagon as into town they rode. There a deputy sheriff approached him in a manner rather rude. Vulgar words of anger and his wife she overheard. Pretty boy grabbed a log chain and the deputy grabbed his gun. In the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. Then he took to the trees and timber to live a life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma was added to his name. But a many a starving farmer, the same old story told, how the outlaw paid their mortgage and saved their little homes. Others tell you about a stranger that come to beg a meal. Underneath his napkin left $1,000 bill. It was in Oklahoma City, it was on a Christmas day. There was a whole carload of groceries come with a note to say, "Well, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. Here's a Christmas dinner for the families on relief. Guess it's through this world I've wandered. I've seen lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun and some with a fountain pen. And as through your life you travel, yes, as through your life you roam, you won't never see an outlaw drive a family from their home."
Well, there you go, the unique wit and wisdom of Woody Guthrie. So, Bill, I think we've got some of the technical details worked out here.
I'm not hearing you.
Well, since you can't hear me, then perhaps you can reiterate what you had to say.
Yeah, the regulations, there are some bad regulations, no doubt about it. And those are usually constructed by lobbyists who have the ear of the legislators for the sake of large business. It's designed to, much of it is designed to eliminate competition from for you know, from small businesses or medium-sized business, and it tends to make it more difficult for small and large businesses or medium businesses to even exist. In many cases, they're taxed much higher, at a much higher rate than large businesses, and that's just fine with large business because it eliminates their competition. These are bad regulations. These are bad, and they can be separated from good regulations that are designed to protect you and me from bad food, bad air, bad water, etc. Those things, those regulations need to stay. We need to protect our environment. Our kids need to have that our environment, or this world, available to them when they grow up. The way the Republicans are honoring that is they're not. They're deciding profit is much better than the future, and they could care less as long as they make money, or as long as they're people who pay their bills make money.
So I'm not quite sure what to do to get this echo out of your headset, Bill, but I'm going to do a couple of things here.
Okay.
On the audio connection. In the meantime, I did want to mention some of the things that we're going to be talking about here. And are you still not hearing me?
No.
Musical ditty while we work out the microphone issues here.
Where good doctors have bold ideas. Voucher Hospital.
Brought to you by Sean's Spicy Meatballs. Small balls, big flavor.
Dr. Ryan.
Sorry I'm late. I had to get in 30 more reps with the barbells. What do we have, nurse?
Here's her chart, doctor. Mm-hmm. It looks like she needs a new kidney.
If you don't mind, nurse, I'll do the diagnosis around here.
Yes, doctor.
Well, it looks like you need a new kidney.
What?
Fortunately, you're covered by the slightly less Affordable Care Act. You'll only have to pay 90% of the operation.
Well, I guess that's better than nothing. I'll just text my husband and let him know. Honey,
wait,
we'll
what's this? Nurse, you're witnessing this, right?
$1,000.
She's got an iPhone.
What?
Orderly!
Yes, doctor?
Get Miss Big Spender out of here.
Huh?
Right away,
what the?
Doctor.
Wait, nurse. You're not going to treat me?
You should have thought of that before you bought your fancy phone.
Whoa. What's happening to me?
That was a close one, doctor.
Oh, I'll say. I didn't bust my butt through medical school just to be taken advantage of by some freeloader with a mobile device. Now, show me to the patients with means ward. That.
Will Dr. Ryan ever rid his ward of smartphone slackers? Tune in tomorrow to Voucher Hospital.
We're trying to get our microphone situation straightened out. Please be patient. We'll be right with you.
suspicionless surveillance of American citizens.
We got a wake-up call just recently.
NSA snooping includes the interception and collection of call detail records and internet traffic,
including audio, video, photographs, documents, chat logs, and emails.
Every American is at risk for getting caught up in the NSA dragnet,
including average citizens not suspected of a crime.
We have also learned of the large-scale collaboration with telecom giants, internet companies, and service providers.
Some concerned email providers have chosen to shut their doors rather than cave to government subpoenas to hand over their users' data.
We've been misled.
Does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
We've seen this story before.
We've had too much secrecy in this country. It has corrupted the government.
And we decided it was wrong.
It was wrong then, and it's wrong now.
This is a fearful situation. The American people, one of the basic rights is the right to privacy.
Unrestrained, illegal, secret intimidation and harassment of the essential ability of Americans to participate freely in American political life shall never happen again.
Nixon's crimes predated widespread internet use by decades.
Tools for surveillance have never been more powerful, and the threat to our civil liberties has never been greater.
Edward Snowden was not the first.
Hello?
I represent six NSA whistleblowers who are being charged with espionage for telling the truth.
We truly, as a nation, are at a crossroads.
I became aware that was sweeping up everybody's data indiscriminately.
What I was eyewitness to was the subversion of the Constitution. And that was when the hair on the back of my neck went up. And so I became a whistleblower.
This is our information.
This is our information.
This is our information.
This is our information.
It is the digital archive of our lives.
Texts of our chats with our families.
The backbone of everything that we care for, humanitarian causes and things that we fight for.
It is everything you use the internet for.
History tells us we need to watch the watchmen.
And in the surveillance state, democracy itself is dead.
It makes a mockery of our system of government, which is based on the notion of independent branches of government, including a fourth estate, the press.
A free society should not have secret laws.
It doesn't have to present this false trade-off between security or privacy.
We need to bring NSA activity from the shadows into the light of day.
We need to end mass suspicionless surveillance.
So that was a little piece done about the surveillance state. It sounds like my volume is still down, still low. So let's see what we can do about that. All right.
I'm done.
Right. So,
I heard that.
It's coming out very low, isn't it? All right. So, I think what I'm going to do for a couple of minutes here until we can get this fixed? So I'm going to switch mics with you, Bill. And then let me know, Bill, when you've got something good that you can hear coming out there. And in the meantime...
That's better. That's better.
Yeah. And I wonder why I'm not getting any sound coming... I guess because I'm doing the talking. All right, just one more sound check here, folks. I'm going to do another... my Welcome Back to Reality opening segment from a show I did back in March. And then we'll be back on to discuss these very important issues in front of us.
Yeah, I hear you better.
You hear this?
I heard you, not nothing else.
You're not hearing anything right now. Oh, right. That would be because it's set down to zero. How's that?
I hear you, but that's it.
The interview, a two-part interview. We're going to have Sean on live to take your questions if you would like to call in and join us on the air. We also will have the second half of the interview that I did with Dr. Gerald Friedman last week, talking about the realities behind universal health care as proposed by Bernie Sanders and the 2.2% across-the-board tax that Bernie has proposed in order to pay for universal health care. So with that, we're going to launch right into the first part of the interview with Sean LaFlock, explaining who he is and why he's walking from Jacksonville to Miami. So without any further ado, let us just start up the tape.
So I'm talking with Sean LaFlock, who is on a mission to raise the awareness for the Bernie Sanders campaign in Florida. Did I get that right, Sean?
That's correct. I think there is a lot of energy for Bernie Sanders to get the nomination for the Democratic Party. And what I'm trying to do is just kind of connect those pieces together a little bit, getting community to community to interact with each other and start to share ideas and start to share the energy that they all have for Bernie, in addition to get people who maybe have never been active in the voting process to start getting inspired and maybe inspiring them to connect with the local organizations, but also to get out and vote.
I'm on just...
So this is Rob Abston, and this is Welcome Back to Reality. And the show tonight is about an activity called the Walk Relay Walk for Bernie Sanders. And Sean will actually give me the exact name of this so that you can find it on Facebook. It is called, Sean...
So I'm going to cut the discussion about this was a walk for Bernie back during the election. So we got something going on here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm getting just a little bit of an echo. But I'm coming loud and clear on your side.
Yeah, let me back off a little bit.
All right. So there are two bills that the Florida legislature introduced. One of these bills is HB 373 and Senate Bill 856. Many school boards have negotiated agreements with teachers that say if a teacher is performing at an effective or higher level, they'll automatically have a job in the following school year. Now, Tallahassee lawmakers want to. Am I still coming through? Tallahassee lawmakers want to take this right away from the school boards, who are acting based on their constituents' wishes and in support of their communities. That's House Bill 373 and Senate Bill 856. Now, I don't know what you think about the state deciding for us whether or not we should give job security to those teachers. But I do know this. I do know that if the companies went to those same legislators and said, look, you know, we can't plan whether or not to hire people because we don't know what the economy is going to be like next year. They want certainty. Companies come to the government and they say, you know, we can't operate without certainty, and without certainty, the economy is going to go down the tubes and yada, yada, yada. Well, how about our school systems going down the tubes if we can't give certainty to our school teachers? So that's, again, is Senate Bill 56 and House Bill 373 that Tallahassee lawmakers are trying to push through the state legislature. I don't know that they've acted on that, but this might be a good time for you to call your state legislator and let him or her know what your opinion is. I would like to think that you would join me in wanting to help our school boards to retain good teachers by telling them, please don't pass this bill. The other bill that they're working on, it has to do with fair wages. Senate Bill 534 is trying to prevent local communities from making the decision on how to spend their local tax dollars when they're spending them on projects that they're building things in their community. I think we all learned in school that our government has three branches for a reason, to ensure that no one branch gets too much power. Our cities and counties have long had the right to implement the will of their citizens and laws regarding how tax dollars are spent. Some cities and counties heard their citizens and they implemented laws that when taxpayer money is used for projects, local companies are often given preference, and as are companies that provide their employees, their residents, with fair wages and benefits. And yet, Tallahassee is doing everything it can to take this right away from local governments. We hear every year that the federal government has taken power away from the states, and the states are closer to the community, and so they're better suited to be able to provide the plan, I guess, as to what's best for their local community. What gives Rick Scott and his cronies up there in Tallahassee the right to make the decisions for our local cities and counties? It just, I mean, fair is fair, right? Local control or send it all to the federal government. Certainly don't want it in the hands of the state. And of course, now we've got the Trumpster up in the White House. It's now we've got a whole other issue there too. So that's one of the things going on the state level. We have, again, the Republicans declaring war on the healthcare system, doing everything they can to turn our healthcare system into a voucher system. And we've got a lot of senior citizens here in Lake County, and our senior citizens depend on their Medicare. And then I believe that they believed the president, I still hate calling him that, but they believed Donald Trump when he stood up there and said, I will not touch your Social Security and Medicare. And yet that's exactly what the Congress, oh, and of course the veterans. Thanks, Bill, for pointing that out. So that's exactly what this Congress under Paul Ryan is trying to do. And I think it's incumbent upon us to, if Donald Trump is going to sit in the White House, whether we think he's president or not, I think it's incumbent upon us to hold his feet to the fire and make sure that he doesn't allow any cuts to Medicare and that he keeps that promise. So I'm going to replay Voucher Hospital just so you know can get an idea of what's possible. Some things that are happening today I would have never thought possible here in the United States.
Where good doctors have bold ideas. Voucher Hospital.
Brought to you by Sean's Spicy Meatballs. Small balls, big flavor.
Dr. Ryan.
Sorry I'm late. I had to get in 30 more reps with the barbells. What do we have, nurse?
Here's her chart, doctor. Mm-hmm. It looks like she needs a new kidney.
If you don't mind, nurse, I'll do the diagnosis around here.
Yes, doctor.
Well, it looks like you need a new kidney.
What?
Fortunately, you're covered by the slightly less Affordable Care Act. You'll only have to pay 90% of the operation.
Well, I guess that's better than nothing. I'll just text my husband and let him know. Honey,
wait,
we'll
what's this? Nurse, you're witnessing this, right?
$1,000.
She's got an iPhone.
What?
Orderly!
Yes, doctor?
Get Miss Big Spender out of here.
Huh?
Right away,
what the?
Doctor, nurse.
Wait, you're not going to treat me?
You should have thought of that before you bought your fancy phone.
Whoa, what's happening to me?
That was a close one, doctor.
I'll say. I didn't bust my butt through medical school just to be taken advantage of by some freeloader with a mobile device. Now, show me to the patients with means ward. That.
Will Dr. Ryan ever rid his ward of smartphone slackers? Tune in tomorrow to Voucher Hospital.
So, Voucher Hospital, Bill. Folks, we're living in some very different times. I don't know how you feel about it. You're welcome to call and let us know at 909-265-9104. That's the call-in number for the Working People's Radio. It's 909-265-9104. And I do have one other little clip that I thought that you might enjoy. If I can find it here. We're still working on it. But Bill, you're asking about my list of callers. Bill's my board man. He's checks to make sure that if we have any callers that their needs are being taken care of. So, we're back to Trump's 100 days. How do you think he stacks up? I don't think he's accomplished a lot. I think the one thing that he said he was going to do that he did, and I'm sorry that he was successful doing that, he did get appointed to the Supreme Court, the Gorsuch, another right-wing justice that's going to help continue the GOP war on women and probably the rest of us too. So give you an idea of what some other folks are saying about Trump's first 100 days. And by the way, remaining is 1,360, so we've got 13 times as far to go. The first statistic is that he hasn't put one new law on the book. The health care was supposed to be repealed. The Affordable Health Care Act was supposed to be repealed and replaced. He said it would be easy, and after several weeks of failure, came to the conclusion of what a lot of people already knew, that it isn't that easy. It wasn't hard when it got passed. And by the way, an overwhelming majority of Americans believe that it's better now than it was before it got passed, especially those Americans who have pre-existing conditions or children with pre-existing conditions. Those parents who still have college kids at home or children that haven't left the nest yet, that are under 26 years old, can still have insurance. So there's been a lot of good things that have happened as a result of the Affordable Health Care Act, and yet the GOP seems content on destroying every good thing that happens in America, or as some people say, no good deed goes unpunished. Next thing that Donald Trump has done is he's passed the most executive orders since Truman. Now, I'm not sure exactly what they accomplished. One of his first executive orders was overruled by the court. And I'm still trying to get you in here, Bill, so that you can discuss some of this with me. How's your voice, your audio going over there? Yeah, you're so you can hear the audio, but that Mike is having trouble with the audio getting out. So we're going to try the Skype. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try the Skype. I'm going to disconnect or try to disconnect the direct connection and see if that helps your Skype voice. So what you got for me, Bill? You're still not coming through loud and clear. So let's see. I'm pretty sure you're not going to be on the audio. So, and yet, yeah. So, I guess we're going to have to do some microphone sharing or something. This is really peculiar. What we might do here is we might just try restarting our Skype connection. The only thing I'm afraid of is that we'll lose. Yeah, that's okay. We'll be fine with that. So while we're getting, again, trying to work through this technical stuff, I want to play this thing that Paul Weyrich talked about. I played it last week about his opinion of everybody having the opportunity
to vote. How many
of
our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome? Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
We get a little bit of echo on that, don't we? All right. So I think what we'll do there, as I said, is just disconnect the disconnect our connection and see if we bring it back up again, if that'll help make our lives a little bit better. So what else have we got that we can share with you here while we're getting ready to bring the while we're getting ready to bring in a little bit more information on Trump's first 100 days? This might be a good one.
The government snooping, you see, on my grandfather and me around the internet. Now we do roam, surfing all night. Got on our Wi-Fi. Well, I feel that they might just send me a drone. So dump all your old emails. See if surveillance quits. Call for the whistleblower to make it on home. Let him go home. Why don't you leave him alone? Oh yeah. Well, I feel that they might just send him a drone. The NSA, they got drunk and rifled through all my junk. And then they went and they surfed up all of my porn. Leave me alone, leave me alone. Why don't you leave me alone? Well, I feel that they might just send me a drone.
All right, that was Rocky Mountain Mike. And I think we've got another ditty here by Rocky Mountain Mike that we can share with you that's kind of interesting. That was Snoop on Me, by the way. This one's another one of my favorites. It's Skeeter and the Redneck Voter.
You know Teddy, Jack, Eddie, and
Bubba and Cleta, Jethro and Daryl and Buford T. Justice. But do you recall the most famous Trump supporter of all? Skeeter, the redneck voter, had some very racist views. And if you ever met him, you could tell he watched Fox News. All of the Trump supporters liked it when he had no shame.
Way down. Yeah. Yeah.
That disturbing Christmas Eve, we all came to stay.
You need to just have a microphone ring, Tom?
Yeah. You're coming through loud and clear, bro.
Okay. All right, good.
Of course, we got our echo back. I'm not quite sure what to do about the echo.
Yeah, we had two inputs like that. It's going to, you know, you're going to have an echo. Because there is a time delay.
All right. Let's see if I can. I'm probably going to come through on that headset, as you can hear in the background. Let's see. Maybe that can be handled over here. Can you hear now? How's that? You need it higher or lower?
Higher, yeah.
All right. Well, you're coming through loud enough here. Actually, if you're coming through loud, then I'm coming through loud, right? That might not help with our echo. If you come a little bit closer, Bill. I'll turn off the mic on Skype over here. Yeah. Move up, move down, show basic options. All right, so microphone, turn off. There we go. So now it's just me and you coming through there, I believe. Where else could we be picking up a voice from? Maybe this guy? Turn that off. All right, so we can maybe get back on schedule. Wish I had a way to turn off this guy, too. Speakers, put this down. There we go. All right. How's my voice coming through okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
So we've got this feedback loop still going on. All right. We're going to try one more thing, though. We're going to switch to this and speakers, see if that helps.
Oh, I didn't hear that at all.
You didn't hear it all?
Oh, what you just said, no.
So you didn't hear me coming through there?
No.
That means I'm
coming
through here.
All right. Yeah, I heard that.
So, the Trumpster in his first 100 days. What do you think about Gorsuch?
I think he's going to be like the guy he was replacing. We're going to have a lot of things going to conservatives. I don't know if Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned or not. That's a strong possibility. If it is, we'll have to invest in coat hangers, I guess. I don't have anything else to say about that.
All right, I see we're still getting this echo. Again, I don't quite know how to handle it.
It's possible because we both have earphones in the same room.
All
right, so I'm gonna. I dreamed I saw Joey last night. Alive as you and me. Did I but Joe here 10 years since? I never died, said he. I never died, said he. In Salt Lake City, the night, and standing by my bed, they framed you on a murder charge.
All right, we're going to give this another try, folks. I think that we're online here, although I'm not hearing anything coming out on my end. Let's see. Oh, audio settings. All right. It seems as if there is some voice going out. Not a lot of sound coming in. So,
they said the students scared the guards or the troops were battle dressed. For models in their new degree.
The
next time they will ride, well, you better stay out of time.
Can hear you online. Are you hearing me online?
I'm not hearing you.
All right, so that means that I am not talking and you are not able to hear me. So I'm going to switch headsets with you. You will be able to hear me. At least you'll be able to hear. And I'm not here. Why am I not here? So, when you were listening to the headset, Bill, Were you hearing the show? Only part of the show? All right, so we're going to play one more song and see what...
Call me green or blue or red, this one thing I sure know, mister, my hungry babies must be fed. Take the two old parties, mister, no difference in them I can see, but with a farmer labor party, we could set the people free. So
I don't want no million, mister.
So, little Woody Guthrie, I don't want your millions. Mr. Woody Guthrie was quite a character. He was a strong advocate for labor, which is what we want to do with this effort, is to be strong advocates for labor. And he, of course, is the author of This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land. And that's kind of the progressive, I think, philosophy, is that this is all of our land and that we all should have an equal opportunity to make something out of our lives. And so that's what we try to do as progressives, is try to create a society where there's opportunity to earn a good living, to advance if you work hard, be able to do well in life, and but without giving you the opportunity to be predatory and to put other people down in order for you to make your million. I think that's what Woody Guthrie was saying when he said, I don't want your millions, mister. He was saying, I just want opportunity to have a decent life and to be able to do something with my life and to make a better life for my children. So he did that throughout his life. He spoke up on behalf of labor. He was a strong defender of the United States' involvement in World War II, and that might have been a little controversial. But looks like, speaking of wars, we might be headed down towards World War III. Hope not, but Bill, are you able to share anything with us about the what's going on with North Korea? Or if you don't come through on the microphone, I guess I can always find a way to translate for you and get you on.
I think there's been a lot of silver rattling, and I think that helps the industrial military complex, but it doesn't help the rest of us. It probably helps the Koreans, because they have to have something to get their people excited about. Because living in Korea is not very exciting for them, at least not North Korea. A lot of the stable riding is in Korea. It's a way for Republicans to get you on board with a bigger military. We don't need a military. A bigger military. We already have one that would squash Korea very quickly. We don't need millions more. The military is 60% of our budget right now. It's ridiculous. We don't need to overspend any more than we thought. But we need to cut back. I agree with them dropping one respect that other countries should donate more of their GDP to their military protection while we back down a little bit. We can still be a leader amongst nations. We don't need to be a totalitarian government in order to do that.
So you're getting feedback still? You're not hearing yourself come out. Are you hearing me speaking over the I think that. So I'm not clear exactly how much of what Bill said was heard. You folks might have heard it perfectly well, but since I'm not able to monitor that, I'm just going to share with you what he said was that he agrees that probably other countries ought to be contributing their share of GDP as far as NATO is concerned. The saber rattling is probably not good for us in the long run. And certainly most of the countries that have Obama cultivated as our allies are getting just as nervous as most of us here in the United States are. So we'll see how that shakes out. So that's the North Korea. We've got 30 executive orders in the first 100 days. We've got executive orders on border security. I guess the border security people still like Donald Trump. I heard an interview with the border security guy, and he said that there are feelings towards them have been continued to be cultivated. He said, "I've got your back" during the inauguration. He continues to say that he's going to let the Border Patrol do what they need to do. And this Border Patrol fellow was complaining because he says, we go to school and learn, you know, how to enforce the laws. And then we get out and then we get into the Border Patrol headquarters and they tell us, well, you know, you can't, and I don't know if this is necessarily consistent across the Border Patrol either, but this particular person's point of view was that he had his hands tied and he couldn't do the things he had learned to do to enforce the law in school. And, of course, we know that a lot of that has to do with the fact that we've got families living here that are decent people that are earning a living, that are contributing to society, their kids are in college, and now we're separating families, we're sending undocumented immigrants back home, fathers from their wives and children, mothers from their children, and it's a mess. And there's a lot of people in this country, that's what they wanted, and they got it. So that's one executive order that's done something. It's still in the courts. I would say there's a good chance that some of that enforcement could start getting blocked as well. We know that his executive orders on immigrants coming into the country from those seven countries
that are Muslim, all Muslim countries, was blocked in the courts. The judges said, no, you can't discriminate on the basis of religion. And you made it clear in your inauguration and in your election and your campaign that that's what you intended to do, was to discriminate on the basis of religion. And no matter how you rewrite the law, it's not a mystery what your intent is. And so we're going to block it, no matter how you change the language. It'll be interesting to see, I think, if they start looking at whether or not the Immigration and Naturals, or INS, or whoever it is that does the checking at airports for people coming in, whether or not they violated the court order that said to stop forcing this executive order that Trump signed. There's some question as to whether or not, even though it's been blocked, it's actually being continues to be being enforced. So it's a tumultuous time for us here in America. Moving on with Trump's first 100 days. Aside from those couple of cases, the border and the appointment of Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, I would say while Trump has been claiming to do lots of things, he's been ineffective at almost everything that he's done. And I think the theory is, the reason why they always talk about first 100 days, Bill, is because the theory is that's a honeymoon period, and if you're going to get anything accomplished, your best chance is in the first 100 days. And with the rocky start that Trump's had in his first 100 days, there's a big question as to whether or not he'll be able to get anything else done, which, in my opinion, is a good thing. There's not much of what he wants to do that I particularly want to see him succeed at.
That's true. I'm glad he failed, but that doesn't mean that he's not the My big story is that he, along with the other Republicans in Congress, will destroy Social Security, destroy Medicare, veteran benefits, anything that's good for this country and for the people of this country, they want to undo. The billionaires are doing very well. That is one of the things that he was able to do, is to lower all things. Talked about lowering taxes. I suspect that he will be able to accomplish that. And the problem with that is that small business and you and me are going to have to pick up the slack, which means bigger taxes for us.
So that's a good point. Hey, Bill, hand me your headset there. I want to play with it a little bit. That's a good point, Bill. Hello? Yes, okay. Let's see, we got nothing coming out here. Microphone, speakers. So you're not hearing me through here, are you?
No. I heard my voice as well in the background.
You did. Because I see nothing coming through here on the speakers. So this is our second week. All right, Bill?
Yeah.
We were on last Friday. We're moving the show to Saturdays because Friday is hard for me to get started early enough to do a 4:30 show. So you can expect to join us on the show on Saturdays now, from 4:30 to 6:30 until further notice. And again, our second show, we're having some technical issues, and hopefully by the time we get to show number 3, So maybe we'll do a few test drives between now and then just to get that worked out. So it'll go a little bit smoother for us. But I think what we're going to do is an early wrap on the show today rather than belaboring all the technical details. And then we'll work through the issues this week and get a more higher quality show, the presentation for the show. And also be able to get the word out a little bit more so that a lot more of our prospective audience will be aware that we're doing the show, probably get some folks that will want to call in and discuss some of the issues. And there is a number that you can call if you would like to suggest topics to discuss on the show. I have another line. It's 407-655. Now, let me start over. It's 407-255-6900. And I'll put a recording on that line that will say something about the Working Persons Radio. But if you're interested in participating in the show, if you're interested in suggesting a topic that we might talk about, if some interesting points that you want to make and are too bashful to call into the show, feel free to call. Leave your statement on the line at 407-255-6900. That will be the Working People's Radio phone number moving forward. And I guess we'll just say goodbye with another, I don't know if we want to do that one. I don't think we ever got the upload that I wanted to play for you. It looked like it was having problems. So we'll just leave with... Can you hear that?
Yeah.
You heard me talking? That's confusing. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Does nothing for the lower and middle class. Well, we do, and here's how. They're going to listen.
So I want to just thank everybody that suffered through this last hour and a half with us. Again, this is the Working Persons Radio, and we're going to do our best to make this a little bit better quality than the technical issues that we were dealing with today. And looking forward to some great shows. We'll bring some folks on that can share possibly some ideas for a little bit better future than what we've got to look forward to with the policies of Trump and the GOP that we have in Congress. I guess they're so used to not doing anything with a Democratic president there that they haven't figured out how to do something with a Republican president there. So, of course, I forget the guy's name, Norquist, the guy that said he wants as dumb of people as possible in Congress, just smart enough to know how to sign their name to the bills. And I guess that's, you know, maybe part of what our problem is now. I can't believe some of them. Anyway, we'll try to bring interesting people on and watch the Blog Talk Radio site on for New Mercury Media, which is where you can listen to the show. Watch the site. We'll try to get information about upcoming shows there early enough that you can be prepared when we do the show live on 6:30 to 8:30. And, of course, you can always come and listen to the podcast. And I encourage you to listen tomorrow when Rick Spezak, who has been doing the PNN broadcast since 2011, I believe. We'll be online from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock with PNN Radio, and he always has great guests, and you'll be able to see his announcement for his show again here at the Blog Talk Radio and the Mercury Media site. So I will say goodbye for now, folks, and look forward to talking with you again next week.